Bible Study Chapter 9. Live a Life for Preaching the Gospel. The Surrender of Rights for the Gospel and the Attitude of a Mission Bearer. Does an apostle have the freedom to choose actions for the benefit of the gospel? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. According to the teaching of the Bible, an apostle has the freedom to act for the benefit of faith for the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. However, that freedom is not a freedom for one's own desires or personal profit, but is for preaching the gospel word of water and the Spirit and benefiting the souls of other people. The Apostle Paul clearly explains this principle in 1 Corinthians 9. He says that he himself has various rights as an apostle. For example, a person who preaches the gospel had the right to receive living assistance from the gospel, and also had the freedom to enjoy a comfortable environment like other apostles. However, although Paul could have used all these rights, he also decided to exercise self-restraint and not use them so as not to become a hindrance to the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, "We have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." This word shows that although an apostle has freedom, even when using that freedom, he chooses based on the benefit of the gospel as the standard. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 through 23, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." The standard of Paul's life of faith was not his own rights or comfort, but its purpose was that the gospel of water and the Spirit being preached, and people's souls obtaining salvation. This means that the freedom of an apostle is not a self-centered freedom, but a freedom of faith for propagating the gospel of water and the Spirit. He could choose his own actions, but the standard of that choice was always decided before the gospel of water and the Spirit. Sometimes Paul used his own rights, and sometimes he laid down those rights for the gospel. Ultimately, the freedom of faith given to an apostle is not simply a freedom to do anything, but a freedom to choose actions for the propagation of the gospel. This freedom is not for oneself, but is a freedom for the purpose of God's work and the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. Therefore, the freedom of an apostle that the Bible speaks of is clear within faith. An apostle has the freedom to act for the benefit of the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. But that freedom is a freedom of faith that is always used within the purpose of building up the gospel and saving people's souls. Paul begins by firmly establishing the justification for his apostleship. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? He met the resurrected Lord, and the Corinthian church itself was the fruit of his apostolic ministry. Therefore, Paul had ample qualification to enjoy all the privileges granted to an apostle, such as the right to receive economic support and the right to be accompanied by a believing wife. From the perspective of the gospel of water and the Spirit, this point is very important. Paul laying down his rights was never because he lacked the qualifications. While fully possessing those rights, he voluntarily surrendered them solely for the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. A life lived with self-restrained actions according to the benefit of the gospel without using all the rights of an apostle. Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 12. According to the teaching of the Bible, the apostle did not use all his rights, but did self-supporting mission work according to the benefit of the gospel. The apostle Paul explains this very principle in detail in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says that he himself has various rights as an apostle. A person who preaches the gospel of water and the Spirit has the right to receive living assistance from the saints, and also has the freedom to receive regular support like other apostles. This is also a principle established by God. However, Paul did not always use these rights, but also laid them down himself for the benefit of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, Paul says like this, "We have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." This word shows that the reason Paul gave up his rights was not because of simple humility, but to ensure that the propagation of the gospel would not be hindered. If people misunderstood the gospel, or it became a stumbling block due to asserting his rights, Paul willingly laid down those rights. The reasons Paul gave up his rights are as follows. First, it is to prevent the gospel of water and the Spirit from appearing as if it is connected to human profit or purpose. When an apostle does not put his rights first, people can look at the gospel more purely and believe it in their hearts. Second, it becomes an example of love and sacrifice to the saints. When a leader shows an appearance of thinking of the benefit of the community before his own rights, the church is built up as a healthier community. Third, it plays a role in reducing disputes and misunderstandings within the church. When thinking of the benefit of the community before asserting one's own rights, the church can be built up more peacefully. Paul ultimately stated the standard of his life like this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, he says, "Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." To Paul, what was important was not his own rights, but that the gospel of water and the Spirit was preached, and God's church was built. Ultimately, the apostle not using all his rights and acting according to the benefit of the gospel is for the purpose of building the church and revealing the gospel purely. This can be said to be not a weakness of giving up rights, but a choice of faith that considers the gospel as the most important. Paul proves his own rights by borrowing common sense and the authority of the words of the Bible. Would a soldier serve at his own expense? Would one plant a vineyard and not eat its fruit? Would one tend a flock and not drink its milk? Following this, he quotes the law, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." This confirms that it is God's will for those who preach the gospel to live by the gospel. The right of a minister is not a privilege that undermines grace, but an order for the benefit of the church directly approved by God. Would it not be proper to receive help for the benefit of the gospel? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 15. According to the teaching of the Bible, it is a proper thing for an evangelist to receive help for the benefit of preaching the gospel. This is because God established a principle of helping one another within the community so that the ministry of preaching the gospel would continue to be accomplished. The Apostle Paul explains this fact in 1 Corinthians 9. He says that a person who preaches the gospel of water and the Spirit has the right to receive service from the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, it is recorded, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." This word means that it is a principle pleasing to God for the community of faith to help the person who preaches the gospel of water and the Spirit. Also, Paul explained this principle by giving several examples. Just as a farmer expects a harvest when plowing a field, a person doing God's work also has the right to receive necessary help through that ministry. This is not so much a privilege for the minister, but rather to ensure that the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit continues. This appearance was also seen in the early church. The saints helped materially for the ministers who preached the gospel and cooperated so that the ministry would continue to be accomplished. Paul also gave thanks that the Philippian church helped him and said that their service was something that brought joy to God. However, the Bible also emphasizes one important principle together with this. It is that the purpose of receiving help must not be personal profit, but the benefit of the gospel. If it is help to fulfill personal desire rather than ministry for the gospel, that does not align with the principle the Bible speaks of. Therefore, although Paul sometimes had the right to receive help, depending on the situation, he also did not use that right of an apostle. That was a choice to prevent the gospel from being misunderstood. Like this, receiving help itself is proper, but its standard must always be the propagation of the gospel and the benefit of the church. Ultimately, the principle of the Bible is clear. It is a thing pleasing to God and a proper thing for the community to help and support one another for the ministry of preaching the gospel. However, all that help must be accomplished not for personal profit, but within the purpose of the gospel being preached and God's work being accomplished. Nevertheless, Paul declares, "Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." Here, the core reason is revealed. The gospel of water and the Spirit is not a gospel that goes forward demanding something, nor is it a gospel that is preached only when a price is paid. It is a gospel that testifies by faith to the word of the gospel of salvation, already completed by grace. The reason Paul voluntarily refused to receive support was not because receiving support itself was unjust. It was an intentional decision to block in advance all possibilities of the gospel being misunderstood as a message that requires a price to be paid. It was right that an apostle should fulfill the office of an apostle, and a saint should fully bear the office of a saint. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. According to the teaching of the Bible, it is right that an apostle should faithfully bear the office of an apostle, and a saint should fulfill the role of a saint. God has entrusted different offices and roles to each person within the church, and when those roles are faithfully borne, the church is built up healthily. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, that God gave various offices to the church, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This word shows that God gave diverse roles and missions to build up the church. The office of an apostle is especially deeply connected to the mission of preaching the word of the gospel of water and the Spirit and building God's church on this earth. The apostles were entrusted with the important role of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and establishing the foundation of the church. Therefore, the Apostle Paul considered the mission entrusted to him very important and made the work of preaching the gospel the center of his life. On the other hand, saints are also not simply beings belonging to the church, but people who have their respective roles. Saints play the role of building up each other's faith, serving with love, and practicing faith in the place of faith entrusted by God. God's church is not built up by only a few leaders, but is a community that is built up healthily when all saints participate together. The Bible explains this fact by comparing the church to a body. The body has many members and each has a different function, but when all members play their roles, the whole body moves healthily. Like this, in the church as well, when each person faithfully bears their entrusted role, the community is well built up. Therefore, an apostle must faithfully bear the mission for the propagation of the gospel and God's church entrusted to him, and a saint must play the role of building up the community with faith and love in the place entrusted by God. This is the order of faith that God established for the church. Ultimately, the principle the Bible speaks of is clear. God has entrusted different roles to each person within the church, and when an apostle faithfully bears the mission of an apostle and a saint the role of a saint, God's church becomes firmly built up within God's will. Paul clearly says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me." The propagation of the gospel is not a symbol of honor, nor an achievement, nor an optional service. It is a mission God entrusted to him. Thus, his only boast is this: when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge. Because the gospel of water and the Spirit has become a gospel that can be received by faith, since Jesus already had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, took the judgment for those sins on the cross, and resurrected from death. Preaching the gospel without charge is an act of respecting the essence of that gospel. Is it not right that one who lives for the propagation of the gospel should act for the benefit of the propagation of the gospel? For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. According to the teaching of the Bible, it is right that a person who lives for the propagation of the gospel acts for the benefit of the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. Living for the propagation of the gospel does not simply mean preaching the gospel of water and the Spirit only with words, but it means living in alignment with the purpose of the gospel as a life accompanied by life's choices and actions. The Apostle Paul clearly showed this principle through his own life. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, "Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." The standard of Paul's life was not his own comfort or personal profit, but that the gospel be preached and people's souls receive salvation. Therefore, depending on the situation, Paul sometimes used his rights and sometimes laid those rights down. If a certain action was helpful to the propagation of the gospel, he chose it, and conversely, if it could become an obstacle to the gospel, he gave it up. At the center of his life, there was always the benefit of the propagation of the gospel. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." This shows a flexible attitude that can adjust his way of life for the propagation of the gospel. His purpose was not to reveal himself, but for people to hear the gospel and reach salvation. For a person who lives for the gospel, a few important standards arise. First, they come to think of the benefit of the propagation of the gospel before their own profit. Second, even when using their freedom, they consider whether it is helpful to the gospel. Third, they try to act in a direction that is beneficial to people's souls and faith. Such a life is not created by force, but is an attitude that naturally appears in a person who has deeply realized the value and grace of the gospel. A person who considers the gospel precious comes to want their life to be used in a direction that helps the gospel rather than hinders the gospel. Ultimately, for a person who lives for the propagation of the gospel, the standard of action is clear. It is not their own comfort or rights, but the benefit of the gospel and the purpose of saving people's souls. Thus, their life naturally moves in a direction that helps the gospel. Paul records, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." Paul did not alter the gospel itself. He merely restricted his own freedom voluntarily according to the needs of each situation, like a Jew to the Jews, like one under the law to those under the law, and like a weak person to the weak. This was not a compromise. It was a meticulous strategy to preserve the core wholeness of the gospel. The gospel is only one and does not change, but the channel through which that gospel is delivered is adjusted in love to reach each person. What should be the attitude of mind of a person who lives for the propagation of the gospel? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. The attitude of mind of a person who lives for the propagation of the gospel appears very clearly in the Bible. A life lived for the gospel does not mean a simple activity, but a life in which the attitude of mind and the direction of life are set centered on the gospel. First, it must be a humble mind. A person who preaches the gospel must know the fact that it is not their own ability or wisdom that changes people, but God who works. Therefore, rather than exalting oneself, one must exalt God and minister with a humble mind. The Apostle Paul also called himself a slave of Christ and maintained a lowly posture as a worker of the gospel. Second, there must be a mind that loves people's souls. The propagation of the gospel is not simply the act of delivering words, but it begins from love toward people's souls. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 9 that he feels great sorrow and pain for the salvation of his kinsmen. In the mind of a person who lives for the gospel, there must be deep interest and love toward souls. Third, a mind that considers the gospel as the most precious is needed. A person who lives for the gospel thinks of the value of the gospel as more important than their own profit or comfort. Therefore, depending on the situation, they may lay down their rights, and they continue the work of preaching the gospel even in the midst of difficulties. Paul suffered many hardships for the gospel, but he undertook that work with joy. Fourth, a mind that lays down self-centeredness is needed. A person who lives for the gospel does not obsess over their own honor or recognition. The center of their life is not how I look, but how the gospel is preached. Therefore, they can willingly lay down their rights or freedom for the benefit of the gospel. Fifth, there must be a mind that relies on God. The propagation of the gospel is not something accomplished by human power, but a work in which God operates. Therefore, a person who lives for the gospel lives with a mind that relies on God's guidance and help rather than relying on their own abilities. Ultimately, the mind of a person who lives for the propagation of the gospel manifests as a mind of humility, love, dedication, and reliance on God. At the center of their life is always the gospel, and that mind manifests as an attitude that thinks of people's souls and God's will first, rather than their own profit. Paul brings in the image of an athletic competition. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. This verse does not mean to compete to obtain salvation. Salvation has already been secured through the gospel of water and the Spirit. The self-control and strict training spoken of here are neither to obtain the removal of sins nor to maintain salvation. It is the attitude of a mission bearer who desires to have no shame before the Lord as one entrusted with the gospel. When Paul said, "Lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified," it does not mean an anxiety trembling over losing salvation, but a deep sense of responsibility that one who is entrusted with a sacred mission must have. 1 Corinthians 9 asks us today, are you using the gospel to assert your rights, or are you willingly laying down your freedom for the sake of the gospel? A sermon by Paul C. Jong, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beloved saints, today, through the words of 1 Corinthians 9, we will deeply examine what kind of attitude of faith a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit should live with, and how they should use their rights for the sake of the gospel. This chapter is a very important word that shows the practical attitude of faith of a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, through the life of the Apostle Paul himself. Paul first speaks about his apostleship. He speaks clearly. Am I not an apostle? Am I not one who has been saved from sin? Paul was a person who labored for the propagation of the gospel more than anyone else, and he also had the right to receive material support from the Church of God. This was a legitimate right for him. However, surprisingly, Paul said he did not use that right. He says, "We have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." This is the core of today's word. Beloved, why did Paul lay down his rights? It was for the propagation of the gospel. If asserting his rights hindered the propagation of the gospel, he willingly gave it up. Here we see the characteristic of a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He no longer lives centered on my rights, because he is already a person who has been saved from the most important sin. Because Jesus was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, received the judgment of sin on the cross, resurrected from death, and gave salvation to those who believe. Therefore, the one who believes in this gospel is one who has already received the removal of sins and new life in their heart. Because of this, they no longer obsess over worldly rights or recognition. Paul subsequently says this, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me." This is a very deep confession of faith. He did not make preaching the gospel a benefit for the flesh, because the propagation of the gospel is a mission entrusted by God. Beloved saints, a person who knows and believes the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not reveal themselves. Rather, they want the gospel to be revealed. However, if one does not know the gospel, a person ultimately wants to reveal their own rightness. This is the difference. So Paul says, "I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He said he became like a Jew to the Jews, like one under the law to those under the law, and like one without the law to those without the law. This is not a compromise. He did not change the gospel, but lowered himself to preach the gospel. A person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit absolutely does not compromise on the content of the gospel, but is a person who can lower their position as much as possible, because they already abide in Christ. In the following words, Paul uses the metaphor of an athletic competition. "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." The self-control spoken of here is not an effort to obtain salvation. As one who is already saved from sin, it means a life of governing oneself for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Many people misunderstand this part. They think, "I must live diligently to maintain salvation." However, Paul's words are not that. Because they are already a saved person, they are one who exercises self-control, not for that salvation, but for the propagation of the gospel. So Paul says this at the end, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." This word is also easy to misunderstand. This does not mean fearing that one will lose salvation. It is guarding against one's life becoming inconsistent with it while preaching the gospel, thereby blocking the power of the gospel. Beloved saints, 1 Corinthians 9 speaks clearly to us. A person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit can become a person of faith. However, they do not use that faith only for themselves. Rather, they willingly lay down their rights for the propagation of the gospel. Is your faith perhaps still lingering on my rights of faith, my standard of faith, and the satisfaction of my heart? If so, you must re-examine the depth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. A person who fully believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. because they are a person who has already received everything from God, there are no longer many worldly things to hold on to. Rather, they become a person who can give. Now the direction of our life of faith must be clear. It is not what will I gain, but how will I offer myself for the propagation of the gospel. This was Paul's life, and the life of one who knows the gospel. Beloved Jesus shouldered our sins through his baptism and completely resolved those sins on the cross. The one who believes this perfect gospel is one who has already received the greatest thing. Therefore, now we must live for that gospel, sometimes laying down our rights, sometimes lowering ourselves, and sometimes living with self-control. However, that is not forced, but a natural life that comes out from within the gospel. I hope this gospel becomes your center, so I bless you in the name of the Lord, that you may come to live a life living for the propagation of the gospel like Paul, a life willingly laying down yourself for the gospel.